So we're continuing our series this morning entitled Hope in a Hostile World. Just before we turn to God's Word, can I mention a couple of things? Straight after the service this morning, we have lunch. Everybody's welcome to join us. If you want to give a donation, that's brilliant, towards lunch. But you're all welcome to stay and be part of that. And that'll be downstairs immediately after the service this morning. The second thing is that we've been meeting various people in relation to the new pastor coming. So people were asking me, does that mean you're leaving? So just to clarify, I'm not leaving. But we are looking to appoint someone else into be one of the pastors of the church. And so we completed a series of interviews over the last couple of weeks. We've got a meeting tomorrow night. And we just ask for your prayers and discernment as we kind of work out what the best way forward is in terms of the people that we've been interviewing. Just so you know, the people we've interviewed have all been of exceptionally high caliber. So that's been really encouraging in terms of that. So just remember us in your prayers. And talking of prayer, that's a good lead into this morning's talk. I want to look at that theme of prayer. You'll know that if you've been here the last couple of weeks, 1 Thessalonians was written by Paul to basically a church plant, a new church that was starting and growing. And he kind of lays out some of the principles of how to be an effective church and how to be a growing and developing church. And in chapter 2, he turns his attention to prayer. And you'll see that we didn't read it, but you'll see right at the end of chapter 2, chapter 3 rather, we have a prayer, and Paul basically prays this. He says in verse 10, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is a kind of pattern of prayer. And it's interesting to see that the way that Paul prays, in fact, if you go throughout the New Testament, you'll see lots of different prayers that Paul has. And I don't know if you've ever found yourself in circumstances or situations where it's been really tough and hard to know how to pray. And we were hearing this morning of experiences that are just beyond imagining. And sometimes it's hard to know, how do you pray? Sometimes we face situations in our own lives where just words escape us in terms of how we speak and we pray. And here Paul addresses a sort of pattern of prayer for that church that is going to grow and develop. And I just want to consider how he prays. We see this laid out in verse 10. First of all, he prays frequently. He talks about night and day. And he's talking about frequently praying for one another. Again, it's a question we need to ask ourselves about. How often do we pray for one another within the life of the church? And is it once a week, once a month, once a year? Paul says, I was praying night and day. You know, I was remembering the community of God's people and the necessity of praying for that community because of what it was facing in terms of a hostile world. He then talks about praying earnestly, and this is an interesting word, but it means a heart concern. It's not simply going through the motions. I came across a brilliant prayer as I was preparing this. And it goes like this. Bless me and my wife, our son John and his wife, us four and no more. And sometimes, well, as a caricature, sometimes that's what our prayer life is like. It kind of doesn't extend beyond our front door. beyond ourselves. And yet Paul, when he prayed, he earnestly prayed for those within the community. He really cared about the lives that were going on there. And he had this heart concern. And so he's thinking about the community of God's people. He's thinking about them. Again, when was the last time we thought about those in our community and our prayers? And he sets them in the context of God's promises. And he sets them before God. Just as we saw in that story of Aaron and Moses' father-in-law coming before God. So Paul earnestly brings these prayers before God, and he reminds God of his promises. God, you've promised. God, you've made promises for John and Isabel. You've made promises for them. You know, and I don't understand the extent of what goes on here, but God, we want to pray. You know, sometimes for people who find it difficult to pray, sometimes when we find it hard, but we come before God and we pray. And as the community of God's people, that's what we're called to be. The Bible talks of us as a priesthood, as a community of priests. And one of the principal things that we do as those priests is we pray together for one another. We pray. Thirdly, they prayed specifically. And so when Paul prays, he has particular things in mind that he prays for the community. And I want to consider there's actually five things that he lists that he specifically prays for in terms of the community. The first one is, Lord, that we meet up face to face. And I'm sure some of us have prayers which go like, Lord, help us to avoid that person. I know nobody here has those prayers. But Paul's first specific prayer was, Lord, help us to meet up. Help us to get together face to face. If you look earlier into 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we began reading, you see that Paul talks about earnestly desiring to come and meet up with them face to face, to be there presently with his brothers and sisters. And the sense of longing and eager to meet with brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes we don't have that desire. But you know, when we pray, it often puts the desire within us. Have you ever found that? That you've got no sense. And then you come to pray and you say, Lord, let us meet together. Lord, let me be excited about going to church. Let me be excited about meeting up with my brothers and sisters. And the desire to meet face to face. Secondly, he says, when we meet up, Lord, help us to restore what is lacking. There's a great movie. It's one of my favorite movies. Tom Cruise has been in the news recently. I think he's launching Top Gun 2, like 30 years later. Anyway, aging pilot. One of his best movies was a movie called Jerry Maguire. How many people have seen Jerry Maguire? Yeah. And it's a classic love story. And at the end, he goes in and he walks into the girl and he says, "You complete me." And it's like this famous line in terms of Hollywood movies. Well, this is what Paul is praying. He's saying, Lord, help us meet face to face so that we complete one another. We build each other up. In verse 2 of chapter 3, he talks about strengthening and encouraging. And that idea of strengthening is actually building ramparts. Sometimes you'll see, in fact, if you walk around parts of Stirling, you'll see parts of ancient walls kind of fallen over. And what they do is they build ramparts against them so that they don't fall over. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, you know, we need to be those supports for one another. And he's saying, Lord, help me be that support for those within the fellowship who need to know that. You know, again, so often what we experience in church life is not that support. We experience things that take away rather than add. But Paul says, let me be a support. Let us meet face to face and help me to restore what is lacking. Then he prays a third thing where he says, may God direct our way. Earlier in chapter 2 and then in chapter 3, he talked about how Satan had stopped his way. And probably he was talking about political authorities that they were persecuting the Christians in Thessalonica, and they had probably prohibited Paul from returning to the church in Thessalonica. But he saw beyond the actual thing and that was happening, and he saw that actually there's spiritual battles going on here. And so when he prays that, what he's saying is, Lord, help us break through the kind of spiritual things that damage and hinder your work within the life of the church. You know, whenever we encounter things that are stopping God's work, it's not just that people are problematic. It is that there is a spiritual dimension that wants to work against the unity and functioning of God's church in the way that God intends it to function. And so he says, Lord, make a way. Break through the barriers. It literally means help us break through. I put no entry, but it's the idea of a barricade across the road. Help us to break through the barricades that stop your work. Maybe make church services more of a riot. I think that's what he's praying. Fourthly, he then gets to, may your love abound. He says this, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. I love that. So he says, may we love you guys. And then as it overflows, then everybody else. That's like, you know, sometimes when you pray with a child, it's like, God, please bless mommy, daddy, you know, my little brother, and everybody in the world. It's that kind of prayer that we're suddenly seeing. And he's saying, you know, this thing of love needs to abound. And it's about forgiving. It's about listening. It's about supporting. And he's saying, may that love abound. And there may be people in the church that you struggle with. There may be people that you don't get along with. There may be people that you disagree with. But you know, we are being the church of Jesus Christ when in those situations we pray, Lord, let your love abound towards that person. There was someone that in a church I was part of many, many years ago, and they did something that was really difficult to deal with. And I remember it was such a tough prayer to just say, Lord, bless that person. And Paul's saying, I don't want you just to say, bless that person. I want you to pray, Lord, let your love abound. And again, you see, when we pray this, it changes our hearts. It recalibrates our hearts. Fifthly then, he says, may he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. You'll notice, and we'll see more of this as we go through, but every single one of the chapters in 1 Thessalonians finishes with a reference to the second coming. And what Paul is saying is, I want you to be ready for the return of Jesus. And he's saying, as a church, that's part of what we're doing. We're helping one another prepare. I was taking a wedding on Friday, and the amount of preparation that goes into it, and invariably, you always have brides arriving late now and things, and usually you say, why are folks arriving late? I had a wedding, I don't think they're here, but not that long ago, where I think the bride and the bridal party were over 50 minutes late. And when it was said, what was the delay? It was like the stylist was getting everybody's hair ready because there was five bridesmaids, and it took a long time. And you're like, wow, okay. So, but you know what? The Church of Jesus Christ is about preparing for the return of Jesus, looking forward to that point when Christ will return. And Paul's saying the way that you prepare for the return of Jesus as the community of God's people is you pray frequently, you meet together, you strengthen one another, you encourage one another, you let the love of God abound, and you act blameless. And he explains how we do this. He says, may he strengthen your hearts. Again, that word hearts isn't an emotional center, it's an intellectual center. And so what he's saying is, may you get your head in the right place. And then he says, what's the head to be thinking about? So that you will be blameless and holy. Or it actually says, get your mind into a holy state. And that word holy isn't some sanctimonious self-righteousness. That's not what Paul's talking about when he talks about holy. What Paul is talking about is something that is given wholly over to an exclusive purpose. That is, to God. And the illustration I always use when I talk about holiness is I talk about toilet brushes. And you know, you do not use that for anything else. It has a single function, and that's its purpose. And and it is designated for that purpose. And what he's saying is, you have to be holy. And what he's saying is, you have to understand that you're designated for that purpose. And what is that purpose? That is to live for God. And when you understand that, and that you have that in your head, and you're not distracted by all this other stuff, then you will live a life that is blameless, and you'll be ready for the return of Jesus. Remember the stories that Jesus tells of the many of the parables of the stewards who were entrusted by their masters to look after stuff. He goes off on holiday, and the stewards forget what they're about. They're about serving the master and his purpose. And when the master returns, he says, what are you guys doing? And they're going, oh, we didn't think you'd mind. Well, he minds. And Paul is saying, I want you to be single-minded, that you understand that you are set aside for God and that you live your lives for God. Because when you live your lives for God and you have that focus, you will live blameless lives. You will live lives that desire to see the love of God abound in your life and in the lives of others, and you want to pour out to everyone. You'll be someone who will look to break through the barricades that are hostile and stop the work of God in the church and in our communities and in our lives. And we will see God's work breaking through these things. We will be a people who seek to strengthen and encourage one another. And we will be a people who yearn to meet together in order to do these things. Paul says, when you pray, yearn and seek this kind of church. Yearn and seek this kind of prayer. And maybe this week you could take that passage in 1 Thessalonians and just pray it. You know, maybe try it morning and evening. And just pray it and say, Lord, I look forward to when we can next meet together. Lord, I want to encourage and strengthen my brothers and sisters. Maybe I'll just send a text right now to someone and just say, you know, the Lord bless you. I want to be someone who is breaking through those hostile barriers that are there. So make a way, Lord, and help me identify where those things are that we have to break, those spiritual strongholds. Lord, I want to pour out your love on those around me. And Lord, help me keep focused on you and your purpose and understanding that my life is wholly given to that purpose. And then we'll be ready, a bride, pure, for the coming bridegroom. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Paul. And I thank you, Lord, for the way that he sets out this pattern of prayer. And I thank you for the way that he prayed for the church at Thessalonica. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us be imitators, that you would help us to pray for one another in the way that Paul prayed for those around him. Lord, help us to be a people who yearn to be together as your family, who yearn to strengthen and encourage one another, who yearn to express your love and care, a people who understand that we are called to be focused on you and to live for you and to serve your purpose in this hostile world until we see your return. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.